thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Bible study on Psalm 13 as part of our current series of prayers of the Bible. And when I was preparing that message, and even while I was speaking that message on the Tuesday evening, I felt it was a very apt message for many people in our fellowship, some of whom are facing difficult circumstances in their lives in all kinds of various ways. And I don't often repeat a sermon, or at least I do, I wait enough years for I think you'll have forgotten it. I don't often repeat a sermon, and certainly not within a few weeks of preaching it, but I felt it was right to bring this psalm to you this evening. So if you were here on that Tuesday night, you're just getting a double dose of the blessing. Psalm 13 is one of the psalms of David, and it's a prayer that was prayed by David himself. But this evening, I'm not just going to focus solely on the words of this prayer, but I want to look more broadly at the particular type of prayer which is very common in the Psalms, but I don't think is as common today in our prayers. It's a prayer of lament. And it's estimated that around a third of all the Psalms are Psalms of lament. So the first thing we're going to do this evening is to read the actual prayer that David prayed to God, and then think a wee bit more deeply about the prayer of lament. So if you want, if you have a Bible, if you want to turn to Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Now, I chose this particular prayer of lament, Psalm of Lament, because it's short, six verses, and it so clearly illustrates what I want to draw your attention to this evening. I was chatting with someone on the phone, they're probably listening in on Zoom tonight. I was chatting to them on the phone yesterday, and I was speaking about this psalm that I'm preaching on tonight, and I said, it's only got six verses. I said, oh, I think I'll try to learn that. It's not a good attitude. Try to learn it. I suggest if you want to learn it, you go onto YouTube and you listen to Ian White, who's a blast from the past, 1980s, who set nearly all the Psalms to music, and it's a very easy way to learn some Psalms. But I'm not speaking about this Psalm just for your interest or my interest, but to make us think about our own prayer life and to ask ourselves, how often, if ever, do we pray these kind of prayers? So if you were reading Psalm 13 in your daily devotions, the chances are you would focus almost entirely in the last two verses, 5 and 6. They become the focus of our attention because they're positive. They sound upbeat. They sound full of faith and confidence. Whereas the first two verses in particular sound pretty negative and downbeat. So we don't want to think too much about them. Or if we do think about them, we're not too sure what we're actually supposed to be thinking about them. But God in his wisdom has given us all these words that David prayed in Psalm 13 because he wants us to understand something of the nature of true prayer in all its different facets. So let's think for a minute about what's actually meant by a prayer of lament. You might have heard people say that prayer, a psalm of lament, is a prayer of complaint or of affliction. Well, the problem right away with using the word complaint is that we attach a negative meaning to that word. We think of it as people who are moaning, whinging, whining. Oh, I look out over this congregation this evening and I don't see anybody who'd be moaning, whinging or whining. Are you not always amazed by the children of Israel? Exodus 14 describes their great deliverance from Egypt. And Exodus 15 and 16, they're moaning, they're whinging, they're complaining. And Moses said, listen, folks, you're not grumbling against me. You're actually grumbling against God. So when we think of that word complaint, that's generally what we think about. And that's not what we're talking about here in the Psalms of Lament. I love this definition given by an American pastor, Mark Vrogop, about lament. He said, lament talks to God about pain. And it has a unique purpose, trust. It is a divinely given invitation to pour out our fears, frustrations, and sorrows for the purpose of helping us to renew our confidence in God. If you read, and Graham preached during lockdown, Graham preached on that book of Lamentations written by the prophet Jeremiah. He is lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem. And yet, in that book of lament, there are some incredible expressions of faith and hope in God. But the supreme example is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we see Jesus Christ, our Lord, lamenting. He is pouring out his heart to the Father. I don't know about you, but even this afternoon when I was going over this again and preparing and praying, I find this so moving. He was in that garden. He brought Peter, James, and John a bit closer than the others. He told them to watch and pray. He went a bit further. He knelt down before God. In fact, Matthew 26, 39 says, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus was sorrowful. He was troubled. He told those three closest friends that he had on earth that his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And again, the second time he prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And Matthew says he prayed that the third time. Don't quickly go over that. Jesus was not immune from sorrow. Jesus was not immune from the reality of what he was about to face, not just physically of being tortured, being scorned, being mocked, being crucified, not just that, but spiritually, the weight of the sins of the world being placed on his sinless soul. This was a prayer of total honesty. He was praying to his Father God, if there's any other way that people could be saved, can we have that way? That's what he was praying here. If salvation can be achieved in any other way, rather than me laying down my life and taking the sins of the world upon myself, then let that happen. But Jesus knew there was no other way. Jesus had always known there was no other way. Jesus came to earth for this express purpose of dying on the cross for our sins. But in these last earthly hours of his life, when the significance and the hugeness of the cross was weighing upon him heavily. He was lamenting before his Father. He wasn't whining. He wasn't moaning. He wasn't complaining. It wasn't negative. He was pouring out to his Father how he felt in the very depths of his being. But it was also doing something else. It was leading Jesus. This prayer of lament was leading Jesus to the place of total submission and trust. Yet, not what I will, but as you will. He believed totally in God's plan for his life. Maybe there is no other form of prayer that requires such openness, transparency, honesty, brokenness, humility, and faith. And this is maybe the reason why prayers of lament are lacking in the lives of many Christians, because we haven't learnt that it's an acceptable and a biblical way of praying. The Psalms of Lament teach us you don't have to suppress the reality of what you're facing in your life. But when we come to prayer, God wants, and indeed God welcomes, our honesty. There are four different kinds of conversations that we have with different people. And that can carry over into the conversations we have with God. There's a purely superficial. You meet people, you don't really know them. Maybe you do know them, but you still keep it superficial. You stick to the weather and very basic topics. But it's nothing specific about your life. Then there are professional conversations at your work or wherever you are. Tend to be problems and solutions. Nothing again too personal. Some people's prayer life's like that. Lists of people that need to be saved, need to be healed, need to be delivered. But don't let's get too personal with God. And then you've got the good friend conversations. You do speak about personal things, but you're still a bit guarded. There's some things you wouldn't tell them. Your conversations with God like that, yeah, you do share some stuff with God, but there's some stuff you wouldn't even speak out to God. And then in life, if you're very fortunate, you have a friend or a husband or a wife or just some person that you can just bear your soul to. The good, the bad, the ugly. You can really talk about the deepest issues of your life to. Do you talk to God like that? Do you tell him your doubts, your fears, really what you are thinking, what you're feeling? Completely honest. What kind of level are your conversations with God? It's a challenging question for us to think about how we actually do pray, what we do pray about, maybe more tellingly, what we avoid praying about. So what are the key elements of the prayer of lament? Here from Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2, bring the inner turmoil to God. First key element of a prayer of lament, bring the inner turmoil to God. How long, O God, will you forget me forever? How long, God, will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? We look at that and we see David's on level 4 of the conversation. David is on that deep level. He is about to open up his heart with complete honesty, whatever he's facing. He's talking to God. Sometimes we're better at talking to other people than talking to God. But he's being upfront with God. He's being completely open about how he's feeling. Some Christians, that's what I say, they read this and they don't feel comfortable with it. Because David's admitting to God that he feels like, in all honesty, God's forgotten him. That God has actually turned away his face. That God is somehow not listening or not doing anything about his situation. That God is actually ignoring him. And he's wondering, how much longer is this struggle going to go on? These troubling thoughts I'm having about God. David's saying, is it okay to think that God has turned his face away? Is it okay to think that God has actually forgotten me? Some Christians wouldn't be comfortable thinking like that. Now, we don't know what enemies David's facing at this time or whatever it is, but David's genuinely wondering, how much longer am I going to have to stick this out? Will I ever get out of this situation? That's brutal honesty before God. These are not just private thoughts, hidden thoughts, feelings, fears. David is laying them out on the table before God. God knows what you're thinking. God knows what you're thinking. God knows what you're feeling. Whether you tell him or not, he knows what you're feeling. He knows your fears. He knows your doubts. Friend, lay them out on the table before him. This is the prayer of lament. It is not negative. I think some Christians, maybe particularly Pentecostal Christians, need to go over that. It is not negative. Do you know what it is? It's proof of a depth in your relationship with God. When you were a little child, a baby, a little child, and you were hungry, or you were hurt, or you were scared, what did you do? You cried. You cried because you believed that your mom or your dad or whoever was looking after you would come and they'd pick you up and they'd comfort you and they'd feed you. They'd give you whatever you needed. There's a man, Dr. Russell Moore. He's written a book called Adopt It for Life. And him and his wife were adopting a child. And they went to an orphanage in Russia because that's where they were adopting a child from. And they said they went into the nursery and it was all like little babies and toddlers lying in cots. I said, the silence was eerie. It wasn't sleep time in the afternoon. The babies never cried. Not because they didn't need anything, but they'd learned nobody cared enough to answer their cries. Children who are confident of love will cry for their caregiver. And for the Christian, lament is crying to the great caregiver. It's crying out to him, I have a need, I'm hungry, I'm scared, I'm hurting, and being confident that our great caregiver hears us and will answer. And then secondly, firstly, bring that inner turmoil to God. Secondly, ask God boldly for help. When Christians are faced with real trials and difficulties, especially if they drag on for ages, there are two dangers we need to avoid. The first one is despair. When you think there's no hope, nothing's ever going to change in this situation. And if you find yourself in a place of despair, you're going to either stop praying about the situation or you'll pray with no sense of confidence that God will hear you. The other danger is denial. Just like cover up. Everything's fine. Covering up to the people around us, even to ourselves, about how we really feel about the situation. I heard recently a story about a Christian woman who had lived for over 30 years in a very abusive marriage. She suffered huge indignities and physical abuse, but through fear, probably personal embarrassment, she stayed in that situation. She was living in denial, certainly pretending to others, most likely pretending to herself, keeping a lid on it, keeping it all hidden. But you know something? Despair and denial are not solutions. They are not solutions. The Psalms of Lament encourage us to come boldly before God and ask for help. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes. He's praying for understanding, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. In the book of Hebrews, we are told that we have a great high priest who is sympathetic and approachable. It says in 4:14-16, we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If you need to come before Jesus and you need to have that prayer of lament, maybe it would do you good to just read again the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and hear the lament that came from the very depths of his being. That is who our high priest is. He is the one who lamented before the Father. And friends, he's the one who says, come boldly to my throne. I will sympathize with you in your weakness. I will help you. I'm approachable. I wonder this evening what situation you're dealing with right now in your life. And maybe up to now you haven't poured out your heart to God about that situation, sharing your true feelings, fears, and doubts. Why don't you set aside time this week, alone time, and pray to God a prayer of lament about what you see or what you don't see God doing, and ask him boldly for help. And then finally this evening, third point, choose to trust. Choose to trust. Renew your confidence in God through honest prayer. And then we come to these verses that we normally focus on, 5 and 6, where David says, but this is not, he's not saying this 3 years later when the thing's been resolved. He's not, that's not it. He's praying it all in a oneer. He said, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. You might be reading that thinking, wow, that's some jump from how long, O Lord, will you forget me to forever? How long will you hide your face from me? That's some jump to, but I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. You think, is that the same person writing that? It's not actually a big jump. It shows that David's complaint or lament, it's not negativity. It's not negative confession. It's not a lack of faith. It comes from an honest heart. An honest heart of a man who has a deep relationship with God. Yes, he is admitting, I do not understand what is going on in my life. He's admitting that. Have you ever been there? I've been there too many times. I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what God's doing in this situation. Have you been there? I've been there. But bottom line, I trust you, God. Bottom line, I trust you. I choose, Lord, to rejoice in your salvation. I reflect on all the goodness of God to me in my life. Life in this world is broken in many respects. Your life may be broken. You may have family problems that nobody knows anything about. You may have marriage problems, financial problems, health problems, mental health problems, work problems, any number of things that we all as human beings face living in a world that is still suffering the effects of the curse. And I know in this church, Graham and myself, we talk a lot about this area of suffering because we can't escape from it. And we absolutely shouldn't ignore it because it's part and parcel of being a human being. I went through, I have at home just a wee booklet thing really, with the names and addresses of everybody in the church. And I went through the list of every name of every person that belongs to this fellowship, comes to this fellowship. And I could look at almost every person or family on that list and know something of your lives and know some of the burdens and suffering that almost every person or family has faced in the last few years. This is real life we're talking about, real life. These Psalms of Lament are in the Bible to show us how to pray honest prayers to God in real life. But they always lead us. That's where you know it's not negativity and it's not just moaning. A prayer of lament will always lead you to renewed faith in God, to renewed commitment to God. Lament, this is not my wee line, I read it somewhere, but I thought it was great. Lament combines rich theology with real emotion. Prayers of lament deal with the real thoughts and feelings that every single person experiences, unless you happen to be a robot, which I don't think any of you are. And it shows us it's a good way to pray. 30% of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. Do you not think God's trying to tell us something? God welcomes our cries. Sometimes we don't know what he's doing. Sometimes it does feel like he's turned his face away from us. Sometimes it does feel like he has forgotten us. When you feel like that, don't allow the devil to use it to pull you away. Go to God, lay it out on the table, say, God, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I feel is happening. God, answer me. Answer me, Lord. Give light to my eyes and boldly ask him to intervene. It doesn't show a lack of faith. It shows a deep relationship with God. And every time you pray like this, it will lead you to worship him and to come again with thanksgiving like David did here and say, Lord, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to you, Lord, for you have been good to me. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. You know everything about us. Lord, forgive us when we try to hide, even from you, Lord. When our prayers sometimes are so superficial and shallow, and yet we're happy to talk to the people around us. Lord, help us to come to you, the great caregiver. Help us to come to you, the faithful, sympathetic, approachable high priest. Help us to remember, Lord Jesus, your true prayer of lament there in Gethsemane, how you laid out before the Father the very depths of your heart, and yet you submit it to his will. Lord, teach us as we pray in complete transparency, openness, humility, brokenness, and faith, that you meet us there. you meet us there. Lord, help us to be bold in asking you to intervene in our lives, to answer us. And Lord, every time I pray that as we speak to you, that our faith would be renewed, Lord. Our confidence would be heightened because we recognize who you are, our God, the God of our salvation. I pray for people here tonight who may be in those deep, dark, difficult times, walking through very trying experiences of life. I pray, Lord, that you will enable them to pray the prayer of lament, and oh God, that you would touch them and meet them and answer. In Jesus' name, amen. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.